Hey everybody, what's up? My people, my clan, my tribe. This right here is the Enlightened Collective. And if you can hear my voice, then that means you're a part of it. Welcome to the revelation. I wanted to give mad love to this week's sponsor, the CamBud store, the CAM-BUD at www.cambud.com. They are basically spreading awareness where there are so many misconceptions when it comes to individuals with autism. They're not different. They're just unique in this journey of life. And they look at things far different than you or me. Let's jump into it today, folks. You know, I wanted to start off by looking at nature a little bit. You know, butterflies don't fly when it's raining because the raindrops will damage their wings. They'll wait until the storm passes. And we can learn a thing or two from nature sometimes. We persist sometimes to commit mental suicide. And by that, I mean destruction of one's own interests or prospects because of momentary situations, how you feel or your emotions, or past mental patterns that we adopted that no longer serves our interests, our goals, or our current destinations in life. We have to be present and aware enough to let those momentary storms and showers pass. Okay, here's a story that just happened to me that kind of will illuminate what we're talking about here. I stopped at this restaurant, you know, truck stop. You know, I stopped there a lot. They have these full meals for like $10. And the waitress that makes your plate, she makes it from like this buffet with two choices of meats, three selections of veggies or whatever, and mashed potatoes or rice and gravy or whatever they cook to put in those spots. Well, on this day, they had Salisbury steak with brown gravy and they had dressing, you know, with the chicken and everything, and you know, and those were the meats. So I love me some dressing and brown gravy. So, you know, I got the Salisbury steak plate with the veggies, and then I got a standalone dressing off to the side. You know, I just paid for the extra. And I asked if I could get some brown gravy on my dressing. And they had this chicken gravy. And the lady said, you know, that I couldn't get the brown gravy, you know. And this lady is normally the nicest, sweetest little woman, but she was so upset. She was like, you can't get the brown gravy because that's for the steaks and the mashed potatoes. The other gravy's for the dressing. I mean, her face showed seriousness and disgust. Well, you know me. I'm like, please. You know, she put a little on there, but she got really mad. You know, I started laughing and she said, don't laugh at me. And she was continuing. She was letting me know all the work that she has to put in, you know. She has to go back and make more gravy when it's all gone. So she didn't want to just spill it out willy-nilly. And I told her, I said, man, I'm not laughing at you. I'm laughing with you. You should see your face right now. You're super serious. Like, what type of person would want brown gravy on his dressing? That's just wrong, right? You know what? I got the steak and it's got gravy on it already. I just use that with my dressing, you know. And I told her, I really appreciate you. I could almost see a smile on her face, but since she was so mad early, she didn't want to, you know, look like I did it. I changed her perception. So I grabbed my food and I went and paid for it at the register. The whole purpose of this story is because sometimes we have things set in our minds and that the slightest deviation throws us off our game. It violates our equilibrium. These lyrics from this song called Sunset by the group The Internet. I had this put to the side and I wanted to bring this up, and that made me think of that lady and really situations that I'm going through personally right now that I had to deal with today. These lyrics say, I obsess over things that shouldn't matter, but they do. And it affects me in the worst possible way. But it's okay. We forget what a big part all the little things can play. And that's okay. I attempt not to let my optimism slip away. Because as long as the sun is rising, we can get up and brighten somebody's day. I'm shining bright as the rays inside my soul. We as human beings tend to apply the same rules of the physical plane, like Newtonian physics, to how we use our mind in the realm of thought. We apply these same limits and boundaries on the boundless and limitless mind and the imagination. In Thomas Troward's The Edinburgh Lectures, he says, we cannot conceive matter without form. Form implies extension in space and also limitation within certain boundaries. Thought implies neither. We think of life as existing in any particular form. Then we associate it with that idea of extension in space. Things expressing themselves through conditions of time and space, thus establishing a variety of relations to other things, as of bulk, distance, and direction, or sequence and time. Or in the dressing scenario, things that need to get done. For this discussion, we'll call the inner mind the subjective or subconscious mind, and the outer mind the objective or the conscious mind. The subjective mind is only able to reason deductively and not inductively, while the objective mind can do both. Okay, you ask, what does deductive reasoning do? How does deductive reasoning work? Well, deductive reasoning shows why a third proposition must necessarily result if the other two are assumed. It does not help us to determine whether the two initial statements are true or not. Like, I see dressing, I see brown gravy. Why can't we put them together so they can make a beautiful melody in my stomach? Okay, that's a joke. That's an attempt at humor. So please forgive me on that one. But in my mind, another visualization or an example of how this works is like Madden football. You can put any player on any team, regardless of what happens in real life. You can play simulations on how different players will perform in different positions. Any team, I mean any team, can win the championship numerous times because time and schedules are not an issue. This mode of reasoning is kind of like, in this example, the game, but our mind is the game system and it can change everything. Inductive reasoning, on the other hand, draws its conclusions from the observations of a series of facts. This allows the mind to compare and make adjustments to feedback. Inductive reasoning allows us to make connections to see how one thing relates to another. The subjective mind is incapable of making selection and comparisons, which are necessary to the inductive reasoning process. But here's the thing. Your subjective mind will accept any suggestion, however false. But once having accepted any suggestion, it is strictly logical in deducing the proper conclusions from it. And it works out every suggestion to the minutest fraction of the result which flows from it. Thomas Troward drew two inferences about the subjective mind that are of the highest importance, especially in this discussion. Number one, the subjective mind in itself is absolutely impersonal. And two, it is the creative power of the individual. Now, the fact that it's impersonal itself is shown by its readiness to assume any personality you choose to impress on it. Have you ever been in a situation where somebody like, I don't want to go gangsta on you, or I grew up on the west side? And you know, that means that they're impressing that subjective mind with another personality. You don't want me to go there. I'm trying not to. They're impressing their subjective mind with another personality to get a different, like, program that their mind operates in, a different thought process, a different procedure. They're switching gears on you, basically. Even more impressive than that is with the assumed personality, will come with it its own objective mind that fits its own individuality. That's why some people, when they go out and they, you know, they hunting, you know what I'm saying? They looking to come up, they going to go have a good time. That is the same as what Troy was saying, that you can impress your subjective mind with any suggestion, however false. And your subjective mind will go through all the process, look at everything that you have seen, heard, been privy to, imagined, everything that has ever encountered your being. It will pull from that to create this image of what you impressed on it, and you will act accordingly. It's kind of like he uses the example of hypnotism, but we hypnotize ourselves every day. Okay, look, here's a breakdown of that last statement even more to make it relatable with everyday interactions. An example, so to speak. A nice, quiet, mild-mannered person gets cut off in traffic and they experience road rage. Their objective mind shifts immediately. Their emotion shifts, and they will remain in that mind state until they choose to impress their subjective mind with different thoughts. The way we put it is, I need to calm down. But how do you do that? First off, you stop thinking about what made you mad in the first place. In order to do that, you need to concentrate on something else. Then your emotions change and your personality will return to normal. Here's the beauty of this revelation. This can be done on purpose. And through repetition, the change can become permanent. Think Kobe Bryant and the Black Mamba mentality. To show no mercy. Yeah, because Kobe showed no mercy on the basketball court. If you couldn't keep up with him, you was toast. To show no mercy to an opponent during a contest. To be unyielding and unrelenting in preparation. Then to be whatever normal interactions were like between him and his family and friends. Look, we have roles that we assume at different times because some modes of thought and action may not fit or be appropriate at all times. The goal is to find the common essence or element that does not have to change regardless of circumstances. Like, I guess in Kobe's situation, you knew he was not to be played with. Okay, back to the subjective mind. It is entirely under control of the objective mind. So whatever you tell it, it will believe and act out to the minutest fraction of knowledge, skill, and ability. Here's a point of emphasis. That part of you that makes anything possible is constantly under attack for control of your abilities. That's why people gaslight. That's why marketing strategies are the way they are. They're trying to impress you to give them what they want. Whoever can push your buttons and pull your strings has control of you, be it people, circumstances, or whatever. The first step in maintaining control is realizing who or what has your attention, and was it your choice? Then refocus. In books by Eckhart Tolle, namely A New Earth and The Power of Now, and this Guy Ritchie movie named Revolver, if you've spoken to me personally over the last few months, I have talked this movie up. One of the biggest culprits of manipulating our subjective mind is, in fact, old thought patterns. It can be called ego or paradigms. In any case, it was set in place by the same process of repetition that we detailed earlier, it helped us to avoid danger or punishment. It has learned patterns that helped us to accomplish goals, successes, and victories in life. But that mode of thinking is not you. You are the awareness that notices what is really happening. In Dr. Caroline Leaf's book, Who Switched Off My Brain? Controlling Toxic Thought Patterns and Emotions. Yes, that's it's not a commercial, but I'm giving you information if you wanted to study this out on your own. She said she gets into talking about neuroscience a little bit, and she explains how mental framework develops. As you learn or repeat habits and behaviors, neurons fire and connect with others to link and create thought patterns. The more you use these patterns, the more interconnected they become. They dig in, so to speak, so these patterns happen first and automatically, just about. You can change these by thinking differently and creating new neural pathways. Joe Dispenza, in Becoming Supernatural, and some of his other works, puts it like this. He says it a lot. Neurons that fire together wire together. Okay? The more you think about it, the more entrenched this will become into your personality. In a church sermon, Kenneth Copeland says something that I still remember right now. That's why I'm telling you about it. He said that thoughts come from any and everywhere. They float and bounce in and out. You can't stop that as much as you can stop a bird from flying over your head. But you do have complete control from letting that bird make a nest in your hair. The point is that you get to choose what thought you focus on and build programs and patterns in your thinking, or that you allow to build patterns and programs in your thinking. Look, our brain is like this big receiving and transmitting station. That's why I'm able to transmit these truths or this information or this belief that I have through the medium of words across miles, time and space, because from the time I say this to the time you hear it, there will be space in between that. My time is relative. Your time is relative. When you pick up this podcast and you listen to this, your time will be different than my mindset and exactly when I'm recording this. So my brain has transmitted across time and space to get these truths to you. And your brain, being a receiving station, is listening. Now, maybe you get some of this, maybe you don't. Maybe you believe some of it and you start to reject it. But you know what? You were able to receive. And then it's up to you to find out what you want to keep and what you want to eliminate. Look. Bob Proctor said most people will either step back into safety or instead of stepping forward into growth. That's a dangerous place to be because nothing stays the same or happens exactly as it happened before. Everything changes. You have to recognize what opportunity that's the present moment is offering. This is your moment of growth. Let's look at the road rage example again. Prior to the incident, you might have been in a good mood, driving along, listening to your favorite song. Then all of a sudden, a car jumps in your lane. You hit brakes. Disaster is averted. Disaster is averted. But at this moment, a thought accompanied by the feeling and emotion changes your entire perception of that moment. You start thinking about how this guy was this and everything. And if you're not careful, it could color your perception of your whole day. Why? Because that is your default mechanism. It takes over whenever you feel that you're in danger. The same mental mechanism keeps you in a realm of comfort because that is what it is trained to do. That is what you taught it to do. Keep you comfortable, keep you safe. That is the purpose of a paradigm. to allow you to put your brain on autopilot because you've experienced this type of situation before. This pattern of behavior is what has allowed you to remain safe before. And it stands to reason that this situation is similar to that one. And this thought process will work just fine like it did last time. The problem is with that is you are not in control. Your past thought patterns are running the show. Now is the only moment you get to act. The past is operating only in your memory, and the future exists in your imagination. The media and marketing uses this same thought process to influence you when it comes time to make a purchase decision. By remaining aware in the present moment, you get to impress your creative power that resides within your subjective mind on the results you want to experience. In the sparring scene from the movie The Matrix, Morpheus was explaining to Neo how the rules work. He said there's a sparring program similar to the program reality of The Matrix. It has the same basic rules, rules like gravity. What you must learn is that these rules are no different than the rules of a computer system. Some of them can be bent. Others can be broken. You have to let it all go, Neo. Fear, doubt, and disbelief. You have to free your mind. Ralph Waldo Emerson said, "Fiction reveals truth that reality obscures." When you allow fear, doubt, and disbelief to select your awareness pattern, like the ego and the paradigms that we talked about earlier, your mind will automatically default to something familiar, something safe, even if that is surrender. You have to develop faith that your creative power can and will come up with the proper conclusion, down to the minutest fraction of a detail. You have to be definite that past mental patterns are not leading you to where you feel comfortable, but you are aware of every opportunity that is available for the present moment. Also, you have to believe that these opportunities will lead you to the desired goal. Both fear and faith demand that you believe in something that you cannot see. You have to choose. I got this right here from the movie Dune, and I'm going to close with this. And thanks for checking into the podcast. If you like what I'm saying, please share the podcast. Don't forget to show love to our sponsors for today. The Cam Bud Store, www.cam-bud.com. I must not fear. Fear is the mind killer. Fear is the little death that brings total obliteration. I will face my fear. I will permit it to pass over me and through me. And when it has gone past, I will turn the inner eye to see its path. Where the fear is gone, there will be nothing. Only I will remain. I hope I gave you something to think about. Peace.